It's time for K-State in Focus. Our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Well, yes, it's a Wednesday, and we're focusing on K-State athletics, and it's brought to you, as always, by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Joined now by Kels Robinette, and he's the beat writer for K-State athletics for the Wichita Eagle and Kansas City Star, and he's right there in Manhattan, America. And Kels, how you doing, my man? Haven't talked to you in a while. I hope things are good with you and your family.
Yeah, everything's going good. I hope for the same for you.
Well, are you dodging? Did you have to dodge any hailstones or anything last night with the weather?
The weather kind of hit us so late. I'm not sure exactly what we got. I heard it raining at about 10 or 10:30. I don't know if we got any hail or not, but my house.
Yeah, exactly. I understand. Well, hey, let's talk about K-State, and let's start with the men's basketball program. Of course, Jerome Tang is new head coach of Kansas State University. Fill in our listeners on how his staff has come together, and does he have any more additions to make to the staff?
Well, they've hired two assistant coaches already, and they both have some pretty substantial and deep ties to Texas, which should help them recruit there, which is one thing that Jerome Tang has been big on his entire career and something he wants to continue at Kansas State. And he's got a pretty impressive support staff coming in, too. He's got several former assistant coaches, even former head coaches lined up to come in and help him as analysts or, directors of video, directors of ops. So the staff will be a little bit bigger than what Bruce Weber had, and it'll focus in a few different ways than what we saw under Bruce Weber as well. We've still got one assistant spot to fill. I would expect that gets filled probably early next week. I think they're looking at a person with more regional recruiting ties, somebody who can help them bring in kids from Kansas City, Wichita, those kind of areas as opposed to just Texas.
It's interesting because I think there are some people out there that don't understand the landscape that is college basketball, and that's the transfer portal. And people freak out. Okay, State lost so many people to transfer portal. Look around. There's a lot of kids that are leaving school to go to another school would have entered a portal. I think yesterday it's 1,300 student-athletes have entered the transfer portal. And to me, this is how I look at it. If you're a K-State fan and you're complaining about all these kids leaving your program, then I thought you weren't happy with 14 and 17. Because if you bring in a new head coach, he's going to want his guys. He might have a few that are going to carry over, but more than likely, it's going to be new guys because the kids that come to school and sign on for scholarships, letters of intent, you know as well as I do, 9 times out of 10, they ain't signing with the school. They're signing with the coach.
Yeah, and honestly, anymore, you can bring in a player who gives you 2 good years and then looks to transfer somewhere else, you've done, sad as it is to say, you've done pretty good for yourself. The kind of unique thing about Jerome Tang is that when he was at Baylor with Scott Drew, they developed a pretty, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but a somewhat unique environment where they figured out that over time, if they recruited the right kind of kids who showed upside, developed them, kept them happy. They actually retained a pretty good amount of their players. I think I read a stat that said during Jerome Tang's tenure at Baylor, they held on to something like 76% of their players. And so that means that only 24% of their players, about one out of every four, decided to transfer. Whereas under Bruce Weber, it was closer to about 50% at Kansas State. So Baylor had a pretty good retention rate on players. It's something he's trying to mimic and recreate here in Manhattan. I'm with you. This is a team that hasn't won more than 14 games in back-to-back-to-back seasons. There's a reason that they had to, get rid of Bruce Weber and his staff. They weren't winning at the level you want. If you're bringing in a new coach, you don't necessarily want him to coach all the same players who were on a team that didn't make the NCAA tournament this past season and finished with a losing record. You want some new blood. I would say maybe they didn't want quite this much new blood because they wouldn't have bringing in 90 scholarship players. I think they very much would have liked to keep Nigel Pack, Davion Bradford, Shelton Miguel, and build off that, as opposed to now you're really only building off Marquise Noel and Ishmael Massoud. Not a whole lot of a foundation to build off of, but we've seen that teams can rebuild off of quickly right now with the transfer portal. I mean, look at what Iowa State did last season. They won two games, bring in a new coach, hit the right guys in the portal, and then all of a sudden they're in the Sweet 16. So that's what Kansas State's kind of banking on and hope they can recreate here.
And let's talk about that for a second, because what are the expectations? I mean, usually when a new head coach comes in, he's given a lot of latitude. He's given time. But you look at K-State, their record could have been much better, lost a lot of close games this past season. They'll have a new cast of characters for the most part, as you pointed out. But yet there's an example right there within your own conference. And Iowa State's not considered to be one of the big boys of the conference. If they're able to do it, doesn't that maybe heighten the expectations for some K-State fans with Jerome Tang coming in saying, hey, if they can do it at Iowa State, why can't Jerome Tang, who's highly acclaimed from Baylor, who's got a ring to show off to everybody, why can't he improve this team quite a bit to where we can be right there and make a run to the Sweet 16 in year one?
I mean, I wouldn't say that's the expectation.
Sure.
I would at least say that that's, you know, kind of a North Star you can hang up there and say this is what we can achieve if everything goes perfectly. But yeah, I mean, people are going to be upset if he only wins like six games or something next year. There's a lot of good players out there that he can go get, and there's no reason why that they should be in total rebuild mode. I think the expectation is going to be that they're competitive in the Big 12. You know, I don't think anybody will be calling for his job or something if they finish near the bottom of the standings next season. But as long as you can tell that they're building something good, they're improving, you can see a bright future, I think that's really what you want to do in year one.
Kellis Robinette, beat writer for the Wichita Eagle and Kansas City Star, covering K-State Athletics. Our guest today, Focus on K-State, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. So sum up as best you can what you've gathered so far in covering Coach Tang. What is his philosophy? What type of team can we expect to see on the floor in regards to what he likes to do offensively, defensively, and what's his philosophy coming in to Manhattan?
I mean, I think it's going to be a lot like what you saw at Baylor. On offense, they're going to want to get the ball in the hands of their best guards. They've made no secret that they want to surround Marquise Noel with five other guys that they feel comfortable getting on the floor, distributing, scoring. They want to have mobile bigs, guys who can run the floor, catch lob passes, and do kind of the polar opposite of what Kansas State has had the past few seasons. They want guys who can move around, make some athletic plays. I mean, really, I feel like a broken record, but just look at what they've done at Baylor. They want to recruit athletic guys who can be versatile and give them a lot of things in both offense and defense. And I don't think he's going to be married to any one style. We saw at Baylor, you know, they started off recruiting one way. They really wanted to bring in McDonald's All-Americans, five-star guys. They wanted to play zone defense all the time. And that worked good enough to get in the NCAA tournament, to make them a competitive Big 12 team. But over time, they switched things up. They changed the recruiting model. They brought in more developmental players. They switched to a man-to-man defense. And all of a sudden, that was what they needed to lift themselves into juggernaut territory where they're winning a national championship. So he's flexible. The coaches that he's brought in on our staff are kind of defensive-oriented. So I think you can count on Kansas State being pretty strong on defense next season. It's just really going to depend on who they bring in as to what the offense is going to look like.
So what does it look like on the recruiting trail right now for Jerome Tang? Is he making some headways? Can you update us on that?
Well, it's still pretty quiet so far. They haven't brought in a single new player, which if you're a Kansas State fan, has to be a little bit discouraging. You look around the country, pretty much most new coaches have brought in at least somebody. Missouri is a good example. Dennis Gates has already signed three or four guys who've got Missouri fans thinking optimistically about the future again. And I think Kansas State will get there, just not in any rush. They've got lines in the water on a few transfers, and I think at least within the next week or two, you'll see at least one and two start to trickle in. And we'll see a mix of both transfers and incoming players. They don't want it to be a situation where they overload the roster with older transfers and then they're rebuilding again in a few years. They want to try and have a nice mixture.
Is there a particular position that they're going to target? Maybe they'd like to get in-house first, or is it just about finding the best fits?
Yeah, the second one. If they find players who want to be here, want to play for Jerome Tang and fit their style, they're going to bring him in. I don't think it necessarily depends on position at this point.
Now, what do you think of the hire of Jerome Tang? I mean, I know a lot of people were all caught up in Brad Underwood. I like the hire personally. I know he hasn't been a head coach really in the past, but he's been an established program. He knows the recruiting hotbeds. You mentioned the Texas connections with the hiring of assistant coaches so far. What do you think overall, and what do you hear what people think of the Tang hiring at K-State?
I like it. All throughout the search, I thought he was probably their best option. I actually really like Grant McCaslin at North Texas as well, but he wasn't really interested in leaving there at this point. And a lot of the reasons I liked him were the same reasons I liked Jerome Tang. He came from the Baylor tree. He's won wherever he's been. The only difference is that he actually left and kind of led his own program, where Jerome Tang just stayed by Scott Drew's side. But there's nothing wrong with that. I think the last few years we've seen that coaches who have been really loyal to their program, waited for the right head coaching opportunity, have knocked it out of the park when they got it. This last year, the National Coach of the Year was Tommy Lloyd at Arizona, who came from Gonzaga as an assistant. Hubert Davis took North Carolina to the national championship game in his first season. Mark Adams had Texas Tech looking amazing in his first season as a head coach. Anybody who's hung up on that he doesn't have head coaching experience, I just don't think that matters as much as people crack it up to be. I mean, just look at what happened this year. I think if you're looking for the next guy, the next person who's going to step in and be a great first-time head coach, I think Tang is as good a candidate as anybody. I will say that I guess my internal excitement has waned a little bit, seeing just how much roster movement they've had without bringing anybody in. But, you know, it's not a race here by the end of the month. I'm sure that we'll start to see a roster again, and they'll bring in players to finish that on the W5.
Well, Roy Williams was never head coach until he became head coach at Kansas. Bill Snyder was not a head coach. That worked out pretty good at K-State. So I kind of laugh at some of the people that want to, you know, somehow find a negative in hiring one of the top guys that's out there, and K-State was able to get him in Jerome Tang. When you look at the landscape of the Big 12 and a coach coming in like Jerome Tang, like somebody pointed out, Texas Tech was one play away from the Big 12 winning three straight national championships. Tech in the final against Virginia, Baylor winning all last year, and Kansas, of course, winning it this year. How difficult of a job is this? Being in Manhattan, some people say, well, there's access to an airport, yes, and so forth and so on, but what kind of disadvantages does K-State have to deal with in the Big 12? And there are some that will point, listen, K-State used to be a great basketball program on the men's side, and I still point out, over the course of the last 12 years, K-State's been to two Elite Eights, and that's a lot better than a lot of programs can say, even though there's been those ups and those severe downs recently with the K-State men's basketball program. What do you think is the realistic expectation for K-State men's basketball going forward with Jerome Tang? Is it making the tournament each year and then making a run once in a while? Is it making it to the tournament a couple of years, taking a step back, maybe playing an NIT, and then making a run to a Final Four? Is it Big 12 championships? Is it the upper tier of the Big 12? What do you think are the realistic expectations for Jerome Tang over the next 3, 4, 5 years?
It's a good question. I think people view the expectations of the program differently. If you ask people nationally, I think that they would say the expectations are kind of on the low side, as long as you can get to the NCAA tournament once out of every, maybe 3 years, and you're competitive even when you're not, you're doing pretty good. I would say around here, though, that expectations are higher. And you just mentioned it. Bruce Weber came in and did a great job over 10 years. He certainly had some seasons where Kansas State wasn't at the top of the standings, but you can't argue with the highs he brought. I mean, two Big 12 championships, one Elite Eight. Ray Martin took him to an Elite Eight. Had a nice string of NCAA tournaments there for a while, too. I would say, from where I'm sitting, I would think as long as you're making it the NCAA tournament every other year on average, and you're competitive in the Big 12 every year, you're winning games that are making fans excited. Even when you're not in the NCAA tournament, you're in the NIT or you're close to it. I think those are all fair expectations. And, when things line up perfectly like we've seen in the past, yeah, you can make a run to deep into March and finished near the top of the BHL standings. I think that's all attainable. But the one thing I would say to anybody who thinks that, you know, the right coach can come in here and just win every single season, the Big 12 is tough, and outside of Kansas and Baylor, these teams have downs. I forget exactly what the stat was, but there for a while, I think it was like 7 straight years, a different team had finished last in the Big 12 standings. West Virginia, people don't realize that Bob Huggins, great coach, he was in last place at West Virginia this season. It happens. Oklahoma didn't make the NCAA tournament this year with some really good players and a really good new coach. It's a tough league. Wins are hard to come by. It's just never – I just don't see how you can come in and say, all right, Drum Tank's got a 6-year contract. He needs to make the NCAA tournament all 6 years. I don't think that's realistic. But like I said, you know, if he makes it 3 times, 3 or 4 times, and has K-State competitive in the Big 12, I think those are some pretty good goals to have.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think if he can avoid those, you know, really bad years that we've seen here recently with K-State, I think you make a good point. If a bad year, if the worst year they have is they're competitive in the Big 12 and they make it to the NIT and then make the NCAA tournament 2 out of every 3 or 4 years or something like that, I think that's realistic as well. I agree with you. Let's shift to football before we let you go. Spring practices, of course, and then they're going to have a open practice, I understand, coming up here this weekend. Don't officially call it a spring game like a lot of colleges do under Coach Klieman. I know there's a lot of buzz and a lot of excitement for Adrian Martinez to be the quarterback at K-State, coming down from Nebraska, and of course Deuce Vaughn, and I think that could be a lethal combination. But what are you hearing with the football program and how they feel about things as they head into this weekend?
Well, it's been an interesting spring. You mentioned that they're going to have an open spring practice. I don't think that's going to happen anymore. They've been so beat up this spring. I think they're just going to go ahead and end spring without having any kind of
okay.
Event open to fans. I've gotten to see practice twice. It's been interesting. They're basically down to like one healthy, normal defensive lineman. They don't really have many fullbacks, don't have many tight ends. It's really hard for them to scrimmage against each other. So it's basically, you know, players going through individual reps. And, you know, it's just a weird situation. It's none of the players who are hurt are like seriously injured. They'll be back for summer ball. They'll be back next season. Nothing to really be concerned about, but the spring has been, I think, challenging on everybody. I think they just want to get it over with. But I can say, looking ahead to next season, they're really optimistic on what they've seen from Adrian Martinez. His rehab is ahead of schedule. He'll be throwing probably here next month and back in command of the offense. And once they get some of those guys back on defense that have been hurt, they'll instantly be upgraded there as well. So I think they really like what they've got on offense, even though they are breaking a new quarterback. He's got a ton of experience. He started for 4 years in Nebraska, so not a whole lot of concern there. Wide receivers have actually looked pretty good. That's one position where they've been healthy all season, all spring, I should say. And, you know, the real question is just can they fill some holes in the secondary on defense? If they can do that, I think they'll have a chance to be pretty good.
And Colin Klein's the offensive coordinator. What do you think will be different about this team offensively? Obviously, Martinez makes them different offensively, but how Klein's going to use his weapons?
Yeah, I think we'll see some pretty big differences, and we got a preview of it at the Texas Bowl where they, you know, they won the coin toss and asked for the ball. They went for a bunch of fourth downs. They went faster than we've seen in the past. I think that's all going to be ramped up next season. I think we'll see some no huddle. I think we'll see the offense going a lot quicker than we've seen in the past. There's not going to be any of this, you know, let's intentionally try to go on a 20-play drive and kill the whole quarter here so the other team gets the ball. I think they want to go out and do what a lot of other Big 12 offensive coordinators do and lengthen games, get as many possessions as possible on offense, get as many plays as you can out there. So it'll be, you know, the core DNA, I think, will be the same. A lot of the plays will look similar. They're just going to do it faster, and they're going to be doing it more aggressively.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I like offenses that are aggressive. I really do. I think there's times where we get a little too conservative in regards to the teams that we follow, and sometimes it's all about playing to win, but then all of a sudden it's – you know, we don't want to lose here, and it's playing not to lose. And I think the teams are more aggressive, benefit from that. So I'm looking forward to what Coach Klein does there at K-State with the football team and how he calls plays this year. Kelis Robinette, he's our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Our K-State in Focus brought to you in part by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hancock Realty in Beloit. Kelis does a great job covering K-State athletics for the Wichita Eagle and Kansas City Star. And apparently is a fan of Whataburger. Is that right, Kelis?
Well, yeah, I grew up in Texas, so I've eaten there many times.
You might appreciate this story. So me and my two youngest boys, we went to Oklahoma City Thunder game about a month ago, and we were there before the game started, about an hour in the concourse, and this young lady comes up to me, and she says, "Do you want to play a game?" And I'm like, "What?" And she goes, "You want to play a game?" I said, "Well, it kind of depends. What's the game?" Well, make a long story short, it was the Whataburger Fry Shuffle game that they do during the contest. And all I had to do is fill out, answer a couple of questions. They gave me a free Whataburger T-shirt. And believe it or not, they even gave me the answer to the Fry Shuffle. They said, "Don't worry, you won't be embarrassed." I'm like, "Great." And I got up on the Jumbotron for about 30 to 60 seconds trying to figure out where the fries were in the Fry Shuffle, and I won a $25 gift card to Whataburger. So eat your heart out, Kelis Robinette.
Hey, yeah. they've got a location in Kansas now. So.
Yeah.
Get on over there.
I know. I got to use it. There's no doubt about that. Hey, time for the off the wall. Gilbert Gottfried. He was Aflac Duck. He is a very funny comedian. He passed away at the age of 67 yesterday. Who is your favorite comedian of all time, whether they're alive or if they've passed away? Who's your favorite comedian, and why do you like that comedian so much?
Oh, geez, of all time, I don't know about that one, but I've. Now that I'm a dad and parent myself, I've kind of taken a liking to Jim Gaffigan.
Uh-huh.
His comedy stuff on Netflix kind of hits me, so I'll say him.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites as well. You and I can relate to that, can't we?
Yes.
Hey, how could people follow your work, Kelis, whether it's online, social media? Just tell everybody how they can follow your work.
Yeah, you can grab a print copy of the Wichita Eagle or the Kansas City Star, or you can head online and read the exact same stuff. Just much more quickly on Kansas.com or KansasCity.com. So that's where you can find everything.
Fantastic. Kelis, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your spring. I'm sure we'll talk to you later on this summer, and look forward to the fall sports season.
All right. Have a good one.
That's Kelis Robinette, our guest today. K-State in Focus, brought to you in part by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction and Realty in Beloit as well.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.